What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And the New York Giants made some massive improvements to their offensive line through free agency, so we want to go ahead and take a look at this line and what it might look like in the upcoming 2024 season, projecting the starting five, who could be in the lineup, who could be taken out of the lineup, and what our expectations are for this unit, because it's been one of the worst offensive lines in football for pretty much my whole life now, it feels like. It's been so long since the Giants have had competent offensive line play, but now this season, do we expect that? Do we think that it will be at least average, which would be a significant improvement from the worst in the NFL, like it was last year after the Giants surrendered 85 sacks in the 2023 campaign? So we're going to go ahead and talk about this offensive line, the new players being added to it, and everything else in between. But before we dive into all that, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what are your thoughts on the improvements that the Giants made to their offensive line this offseason?
I'm doing pretty good. And look, guys, the offensive line for the Giants, as Anthony mentioned, has been probably bad for a good like 35% of my life, 40% of my life, 10 years, it feels like. And, you know, the truth is, as long as the Giants have a bad offensive line, they're going to have a bad offense. And I think you could say the same for many teams across the NFL. But they made some additions this offseason, and I really like them. Now, you could have looked in the direction of the Mike Onwenus and, you know, all of these different big money offensive interior guards, you know, Kevin Dotson. You know, there's so much money being thrown at these guys, and the Rams spent, what, two big contracts on $17 million per season offensive guards. The Giants, I think, got better value from their selections, and I'm gonna keep using the Bobby Okereke example here because 4 years, $40 million for Bobby Okereke, looking like an absolute steal right now. One of our best free agent signings in a long time at a position that we've really traditionally really stunk at over the last 5 years or so, being linebacker. You know, Blake Martinez had a really good year or two, but Bobby Okereke took it to another level, you know, a whole different realm of production. But he's also always good in coverage. So, like, you have a lot of versatility there and a captain as well. I really like this John Runyan signing, and I've talked about this a couple times, and the reason that I like the John Runyan signing, it's 3 years, $30 million, right? So you're paying him $10 million per year. But the thing that a lot of people overlooked was that he was playing the wrong position. You know, with the Green Bay Packers, he was playing right guard, and he is a left guard. So, you know, they had Elton Jenkins at tackle, moved him back to left guard, forced Runyan out of his traditional spot. He even said it at his introductory press conference that he is going to be playing left guard. That is where he prefers to play. Former sixth-round pick. And, you know, his numbers at right guard versus left guard are drastically different. It's not even, like, comparable. Last year, he played 1,006 snaps at right guard. And by the way, you know what's really good about John Runyan? The guy stays healthy. He has three consecutive years with over 1,000 snaps. And that is very hard for us to say when talking about anybody else on this offense. They are consistently injured. John Runyan has a very good health history. So knock on wood, that's a really good sign just to point to right off the bat. Sometimes the best ability is availability. You've heard that a billion times. Now, looking at his 2023 metrics, you know, he gave up 22 pressures and 2 sacks. On paper, that's not that bad, even though he was playing out of position. If you look back at 2022, over the first, what, six games of the season, all of them came at left guard. Over that sample size, he gave up 4 pressures and 1 sack. In fact, his last game at left guard came against the Jets, and their pass rush was really, really freaking good. So if you actually look at the first 5 games of the season, he didn't give up a single pressure or a sack. He had one bad game over that sample size, so you could call it an anomaly. Just maybe he had an off day. Maybe he wasn't feeling well. You could, you know, cough it up to a myriad of different reasons. He just had a bad game over a 6-game sample size where 5 of those games he didn't give up a single pressure. So that, to me, was really encouraging because you see a player that obviously – it's tangible, it's on paper, is better at left guard, and it's by a significant margin. Then they moved him back over to right guard, and he consistently was really good in pass protection, but was average to below average in run blocking. So he's never been known to be a run blocker per se, but he has the capability. He's an athletic guy. He's 6'4", 307 pounds, 26 years old. He won't even be 30 by the time this contract ends. I think we got tremendous value here, Anthony. I think that this is going to be our long-term solution at left guard. This is not the same as Mark Lewinsky. Some people have compared this to like a Mark Lewinsky signing. This is a lot different, guys. Mark Lewinsky was a, we need somebody and there's nobody left to take to sign signing. Like, he was the only option available and the Giants had no money. This is a more of a, we scouted everybody. There was like 8 or 9 players available at guard this offseason. We scouted everybody. We let all the other teams pay big money for guys that were, you know, just being inflated on the market just for us to land a guy that has tremendous value that people are overlooking at a much more affordable cost. You're talking about a 70% cheaper price for the same price as Kevin Dotson or any of these guys. So, am I saying he's going to be elite? No, but he's going to be available, and he's an above-average pass protector, and that's what the Giants have desperately missed. We haven't had an above-average pass protector at left guard. I don't even remember the last time we had. Kevin Zeitler was the last one I can think of, and we haven't had one next to Andrew Thomas. You know, having a good player next to Andrew Thomas and John Michael Schmitz is going to help JMS develop and get better, and it's also going to help Andrew Thomas be elite. He's not going to have to help the left guard, you know, stifle those inconsistencies. But we're going to see a lot better performance on the left side of this line. I feel it. I looking at the numbers, that's what they suggest. You know, Anthony, what are your thoughts about John Runyon? I think it was a really good underrated signing people are overlooking right now.
No, I think it was a good sign, and I think you make a lot of good points about how comfortable he is on the left side versus the right side, his numbers and his performances on the left versus the right, and really just the overall fact that he's a very good pass-protecting guard, and that's something that you can't overlook. It's something that you can't overvalue either, because when you're a New York Giants team that surrendered a lot of pressure through the interior, you want a solid pass protector at one of those guard spots, and the Giants are going to have that with John Runyon, and that's the worst-case scenario. At least they know that one of their guard spots has a solid pass protector. Like you mentioned, maybe not the best run blocker. Maybe they're not going to push the pile too much and create too many lanes behind John Runyon for Devin Singletary, but he's still capable. He's an average run blocker, and that's fine. But having good pass protection is paramount in the NFL. In the modern NFL, that is such a passing game. It really is a passing league. You do need solid pass protection from the interior, especially when you're looking around in this NFC East. There are great interior defensive linemen all over this division, with the Washington Commanders, with the Dallas Cowboys, and the Philadelphia Eagles. They all have stacked front sevens. The Giants do need to improve the interior of their offensive line, and they have done so by adding John Runyon, who's a better pass protector than any of the guards that they've had playing for them over the last, I would say, 4 seasons. So Runyon will serve as a huge upgrade there at left guard, but the only question mark for me with Runyon and his position is what then happens to Evan Neal. So Alex, this is where I'm going to bring in my ideal offensive line, because we wanted to talk about projections. If I had my ideal pick of the starting five, it would go Andrew Thomas at left tackle, Runyon at left guard, as you mentioned, JMS at center, right guard would be Jermaine Illuminor, and I know that's going to surprise you, and we're going to talk about that. Right tackle, Evan Neal. This is my ideal projection. This isn't what I think is it's going to look like, because honestly, I do think that Evan Neal probably moves into guard because he struggled so badly at tackle. But ideally, Evan Neal steps into training camp, takes steps forward, and becomes the starting right tackle and keeps that job and actually plays at a high level. And Jermaine Illuminor has starting experience at right guard as well. We have talked about him a lot, about being the right tackle competition for Evan Neal, about potentially taking over that position and moving Neal into guard. But you do have to keep in mind that Illuminor, I know you're a huge fan favorite of Illuminor, Alex, he has played guard before, and he's played it at a pretty high level as well. So he can move inside to guard if Evan Neal plays well at tackle. And ideally, Evan Neal turns things around and is no longer a draft bust by the end of the 2024 season because he made a name for himself at right tackle for the Giants. So I want to get your take on that. That being my ideal offensive line. If Evan Neal is able to take that step forward again, who knows how likely it is that the ideal scenario actually takes place. But do you agree with me? Is it ideal for Evan Neal to pan out at right tackle while Jermaine Illuminor steps into right guard? Or do you think that you would rather just see Jermaine Illuminor at right tackle and ideally maybe Evan Neal transitions to right guard? How do you kind of see the ideal scenario playing out?
Well, you know, here's the one thing that I'll say. I'm just so happy that the Giants have finally added competition. You know what I mean? I'm just so happy that we're not handing out starting jobs anymore, whether it be at quarterback, whether it be at right tackle, whether it be anywhere on this team. If you're not a linchpin superstar like a Dexter Lawrence or Andrew Thomas, your job is in question. Your job is there for you to lose. And Evan Neal, you know, he had a lot. There was a lot of stuff that happened last year. Of course, he called all of us sheeps. You know, there was a lot of interesting situations that unfolded. The double ankle injuries, you know, now he's a kind of an injury prone player. You know, his lack of fundamentals, his lack of development and growth, whether it be Bobby Johnson or his lack of confidence. I don't know what it is, but this does not. The Giants cannot go into next season with Andrew Thomas as the surefire, no competition starter, because that is not a reasonable strategy anymore. Jermaine Illuminor, and I keep saying this, is going to probably beat him for the starting right tackle job, because one, Evan Neal, it has not been good. Like, we don't even know if he can be good at this point. We don't know if he can take that big step forward. Is he just not going to be a good NFL player at right tackle? Is he a better guard? Why not cross-train him? There's nothing the Giants, like, there's no reason to not have him at least practice at another position in the hopes of, well, if it doesn't pan out, at least we have a backup plan. We made this same mistake with Ereck Flowers. We moved him all around. He ended up with the Commanders. Ends up playing guard and ends up playing at a pretty relatively decent level. He was competent, but and for us, he was at right tackle. We couldn't even play him. He was unplayable. So you know, we can't make the same mistake twice. You got to have Evan Neal cross train. Jermaine Illuminor, a lot of people say he's going to be starting at right guard. I don't see it that way. You know, Carmen Prestillo is going to be bringing over his entire blocking system to this Giants team. He had the 13th ranked pass blocking unit last year and the 14th like run blocking unit. And one of his primary pieces was Illuminor at right tackle. Why change that? You know what I mean? Why change that for a player who has underperformed and over-injured in Evan Neal for the past 2 years? I don't see the logic behind it. If he wins it fair and square, absolutely. You know, give him that job. But he's got to earn that now. There's no handouts anymore, man. You're in your third year of your NFL career. You got to earn it. This is not a situation where, like, you know, sheeps and lions. Be the lion then. You know what I mean? Step up. Get better, improve, stay healthy, work on it this offseason diligently. I know he puts in the work in. I don't, for a question, doubt that he has the work ethic to be a good player. He just hasn't put it all together. So, you know, we've seen flashes at times, but he does lack that speed and flexibility off the edge against faster pass rushers. You know, guys that have that speed off of him, that speed edge, that advantage, that bend. He struggles against those guys. You know, Illuminor has a little bit more versatility. And by the way, you know, Illuminor, 29 years old, he's a good dude, and he really wants to succeed here. He's from Jersey. He's a Giants fan. Like, he wants to be good here. Evan Neal has his work cut out for him, because this isn't just like he's blowing up against a, you know, a no-name free agent that obviously was brought in to, like, just push him a little bit, but he was never going to lose the job. Illuminor wants his job. You know what I mean? Like, Illuminor wants to be the best player on that offensive line, and he is going to play wherever the Giants feel as though he's going to be the biggest asset. And if their biggest weakness is right tackle, he is going to play right tackle. And right now, the Giants' biggest weakness is right tackle. So, you know, I kind of feel as though right now Illuminor has the edge here. Last year, 28 pressures and 6 sacks he allowed, over 905 snaps. He had a couple of really good games. He had some games that were a little, like, he had a couple of, like, 2 or 3 games that really inflated those metrics against Pittsburgh, against the Chargers. So you're talking about, like, Nick Bosa and TJ Watt. He struggled against them, but guess what? So does everybody. So it's not like I'm sitting here telling you, well, you know, he was really bad against bad players. No, he went up against 2 of the best pass rushers the league has to offer and struggled. So I'm not really that overly concerned. Against everybody else, he was pretty damn good. He was one of the better pass-protecting guards tackles in the league. So I'm definitely excited to see how this kind of transition happens. But if he does end up at right guard, he has 534 total snaps there. and by the way, if he does have to end up transitioning to left tackle for whatever reason, he's competent. Like, he can play left tackle at least an average level. If Andrew Thomas were to go down for any reason, at least you have an insurance policy and Jermaine Illuminor can help you there instead of Justin Pugh off the freaking streets. You have a guy who actually has experience and is a decent player who can play multiple spots. But if he does end up playing right guard, that's even better, because that means Evan Neal took a massive step forward and he took that job, and Illuminor transitions over to guard, and that's fine. Like, that, in fact, that might be the best case scenario. Evan Neal takes such a huge step forward and grows and takes that job back that you don't need Illuminor to play there. So I think that would kind of wrap up my take on Illuminor specifically. I think that Evan Neal, you got to step up. Otherwise, he's going to take your job. And ultimately, that's what the Giants should be doing. They should be infusing competition into these positions of weakness, because that's the only way to get better performance out of some guys who have just been handed starting jobs the last couple of years.
Right, which is why, like I said, ideally Evan Neal takes that step forward and takes back his starting right tackle job. That would be the ideal best case scenario, is that Evan Neal is the starter at right tackle and Jermaine Illuminor is the starter at right guard. But a likely outcome is that Illuminor takes over at right tackle and you move Neal inside to guard. But then there becomes the question mark of which guard spot does Evan Neal play. He's never played right guard at any point in his football career, but during his time at Alabama as a freshman, he did play left guard and he played it pretty well. So the question then would become, do you want to sacrifice John Runyon's talents moving him to right guard when he's clearly better at left so that you could develop Evan Neal at left guard? Or do you now have Evan Neal learn another, his fourth position that he's had to learn in his football career at right guard, his second position that he's had to learn in the NFL, and his third position in 3 years since he played left tackle his final collegiate season? So big question marks there on Evan Neal. Where does he play if not right tackle? Which is why, ideally, the best case scenario, he does fix it and he gets it right and he plays right tackle for the Giants this upcoming season, because if not, it becomes a little bit murky. Where do you move him to? Left guard, right guard? It's a big question mark. Hopefully John Runyon is able to maintain his kind of level of play at left or right guard if it comes down to that and they have to move him around. But if Evan Neal moves into left guard, Runyon at right guard, that becomes a little bit of a hairy situation. So again, ideally, Illuminor does take the right guard spot and Evan Neal takes the right tackle spot. But I agree with you. I think that Illuminor brings a lot to the table. I don't think that he's an elite offensive lineman by any means, but he is a solid upgrade over everything that the Giants have had, and he's familiar with the coach, so you expect him to translate his skill set from Las Vegas over to New York rather easily and probably play at the same level, which would be a huge upgrade again. And Carmen Bristolo, for what it's worth, did a tremendous job developing Jermaine Illuminor with two stints, not only with the Las Vegas Raiders these past two seasons, but also earlier in his career when he was playing guard for the New England Patriots. That's when Carmen Bristolo was also coaching the offensive line for the Patriots. So an important connection to note there. He's coached him at guard and tackle, and I think that's something that might come in handy as the Giants move forward and try and rebuild this offensive line. But talking about expectations for this unit, Alex, I expect John Michael Schmitz to take a big step forward. I think that he needs to take a big step forward. He struggled a lot as a rookie, and for what it's worth, John Michael Schmitz was dealing with injuries a lot as a rookie as well. So you do have to kind of cut him some slack when you're looking at his abysmal rookie season. But John Michael Schmitz should take a step forward in year two, and then if you have improved play from the new additions that the Giants brought in, if Evan Neal maybe plays better at a new position or maybe loses his starting job to somebody else, where do you expect this unit to rank, though? You know, after all is said and done, we've talked about a few of these new guys that came in. We think that certain players will improve. We know Andrew Thomas will remain a great offensive tackle, protecting the quarterback's blind side. But realistically, where is this unit ranking in your eyes? Is this upper half? Is this middle of the league? Is this still bottom half of the league? Me personally, I think it's still bottom half, but trending towards the middle. If these improvements pan out, or these upgrades and new additions to this team pan out, I still think it's going to be closer to the middle. I don't think it's going to be in the upper half, probably in the bottom half, but there's a lot of room for growth for this team. And if certain players take a step forward, especially John Michael Schmitz, and if Evan Neal takes a step forward, it wouldn't shock me to see this unit become upper half of the league, since there is so much bad offensive line play around the NFL. But again, realistically, my expectations are bottom middle of the league. But how are you feeling about it, Alex? What are your expectations?
Until proven otherwise, this is the worst pass protecting unit in football. That is my take, and it will forever stay that way, because I've gone down this path, five times now, thinking that we made the right improvements and thinking that we were going to be better, and we weren't. I have tangible reasons to believe that John Runyon and Jermaine Illuminor are going to be substantial upgrades. You know, just looking at the metrics, I've done the research, I've done the due diligence, I've looked at it all, and I believe these two players are going to make us a lot better. With that being said, I need to visibly see it before I believe it. You know what I mean? Like, I have my reasons to believe it could happen, but I need to see it to actually believe it is happening. So for now, I agree. Bottom half of the league. Can't depend on it. It's just, I can't sit here and act like I can guarantee you this team is going to be a lot better in the offensive line. But what I will say is that I do like these signings. I do think that these guys are better players than what we had. I do think these guys are reliable. And I do think Carmen Brasil is a better coach than Bobby Johnson. For those reasons, I believe that we could be better. But I'm not going to say we will be better because I've been down that path. It hurts me every time. And every year I'm disappointed. I'm trying to avoid being disappointed next season. But especially with the draft too, we don't even know what's going to happen there. So many things can unfold. But look, right now, I like the free agency and offseason that we've had so far. Of course, if we end up with a quarterback, I'm going to be even happier, and I'll think this offseason was tremendous. But Brian Burns, awesome acquisition. Offensive line, really great value grabs, but you know the job's not done. We still have a long way to go and a lot more pieces to add over the next couple of months.
Totally agree with you there. I think it's the right move for Giants fans to keep their expectations very low for the offensive line. And honestly, how much lower can they get after last season, right? I think any improvement is going to feel like a whirlwind of improvement for the New York Giants this upcoming season because that offensive line was so bad last year. And one thing that I think we don't talk about enough with this Giants offensive line, it wasn't only bad in pass protection. Like, we talk about the 85 sacks, we talk about how much pressure the quarterbacks face. They were really bad in the run blocking portion of the game as well. That's an underrated talking point. The Giants offensive line needs to start pushing the pile more. They need to start creating more gaps, more holes for the running backs, Devin Singletary now, maybe Eric Gray, maybe somebody else through the draft. They need to create more of a push up front in the running game. That is going to be super important for this New York Giants team. But as you mentioned, still a lot of holes on this team, and we have the upcoming NFL draft. Maybe the Giants add more talent to their offensive line through the draft. We mentioned in a recent episode, Alex, where the Giants could go third round here, go Christian Haynes maybe out of UConn. There's your starting right guard, and then Evan Neal maybe just becomes a backup at that point, whatever, and Jermaine Illuminor is your starting right tackle. That could be another way to upgrade this unit. I don't think that anyone on the Giants offensive line outside of John Michael Schmitz and Andrew Thomas prevent you from drafting more talent to the unit. You know, and maybe not in the first round, you're not taking extra talent because that's a little too rich, as we discussed in a recent episode. But in those middle rounds, some long-term solutions, some guys who can maybe take over after these veterans age out of their spots, I think that the Giants would be wise to maybe take a flyer on a mid-round pick. As you've mentioned before, Alex, let Carmen Brasil say, hey, that guy, I like the way he plays. That's who I want to develop. I think that's a really great strategy that you've brought up in the past, and I think could totally happen for the Giants in this upcoming NFL draft at the end of the month. But it's going to be really interesting, as we keep saying. Expectations still low for this unit, but on paper, it's much improved. The Giants made the right upgrades. Hopefully they make a couple more, and hopefully this unit is a lot better this upcoming season. One upgrade that we haven't talked about, Alex, that I do just want to throw out there, it's a lesser-known one, Aaron Stinney. The Giants signed this guy, very low-key signing, very cheap signing, but if you look on OurLads.com, which is projected depth charts, and you look at PFF.com, they have Aaron Stinney projected to start at left guard with John Runyon at right guard, which I know we talked about, not right. I think that you're going to see John Runyon at left guard. But in any scenario, I do want to talk about the depth that the Giants added to this unit and say Aaron Stinney is pretty good depth. He played 850 snaps for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, all at left guard, and he had an average PFF grade. He let up 32 pressures and 3 sacks. Like, he's not a great player, but in terms of depth, you've got quality depth here, and I think that's important as well. Not only that the New York Giants upgraded their offensive line in the starting five in a couple ways with John Runyon coming in and Jermaine Illuminor coming in, but they also added some depth here, and I think that's important to note. So I guess before we wrap, I'll just ask you if you have any thoughts on Aaron Stinney. I know, again, just a depth piece, so nothing too notable there, but if you have any thoughts on him and just the overall depth of this offensive line, maybe Azeedu, McKethan, whatever you're thinking, final thoughts on the depth of the unit.
Well, look, the depth really will only be as good as the coaching, in my personal opinion. And, you know, Bobby Johnson did not do a good job developing all the depth. A lot of injuries, so I'll give him a little bit of a break there at times, but we still didn't see primary development on our primary players. John Michael Schmitz is one of the worst pass protectors in the league last year, and he was not that bad. Like, let me just put it this way. When you have players that are coming out of college and their film is good, John Michael Schmitz is a good player. A lot of people had him mocked in the first round. He should have been better. And he regressed as a rookie. Like, he regressed. His technique was off at times. His fundamentals were off. He lacked everything. That is a coaching problem. You know what I mean? That is a coaching problem. Yes, he had different guards alongside him all the time, but he individually did not improve. And that is problematic. If you don't see improvement week over week on a player, no matter who's next to them, That is a coaching problem. And unfortunately, that's Bobby Johnson's problem. So, you know, looking at Carmen Brasillo, I think we're going to see a much better version of JMS this upcoming season. Personally, is how I feel. You know, Aaron Stinney, good depth piece for the Buccaneers. You know, fine. He's okay. He's just there for depth again. Marcus McKeffin, Josh Azudu, as you referenced, these guys have to provide value and they have to stay healthy. You know what I mean? Staying healthy will be imperative, but I think this is one of the deeper offensive lines that we've had in terms of just having depth and youth there. But with that being said, we can't sustain having multiple injuries to starters anymore. It's unsustainable. We can't survive it. You know what I mean? If Andrew Thomas goes down, our line goes down with him. You know what I mean? If JMS goes down, like, who's playing center? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just a situation where the Giants have to be extremely careful. They need to take care of these guys' bodies very efficiently. And I think that, you know, as long as we can stay healthy, we'll be in good shape. But injuries are unavoidable. They happen in the NFL. It's something that you can't really project or predict. But last year was a special scenario where guys were dropping like flies, you know. And I think a lot of guys are dropping like flies because they were bad. You know what I mean? When you have bad players failing and losing reps, you have guys falling on your ankles. You got guys falling on the back of your legs. You guys tripping over each other. You got your maneuvering in ways that you shouldn't be maneuvering. You're trying to catch up to a blocker and you end up twisting your ankle, twisting your knee. That's losing produces more injuries. Losing reps, having to contort your body in ways to catch up or fall, or guys are falling. I mean, think about Nick Gates. You remember how he got injured? Because Billy Price ended up getting blown up at center and fell right into his ankle, you know, right into the back of his leg. That's how he got hurt. You know what I mean? Like, losing reps oftentimes produces injuries. So you got to win these reps. You have to be efficient, and you're going to avoid injury. That, like, Andrew Thomas, wonder how he pulled his hamstring and basically was useless the entire year? He was chasing after a freaking intercept, or was it a blocked field goal, right? Do your jobs. You know, don't have blocked field goals. Your offensive lineman is trying to chase down a freaking defensive back. He's never going to catch him, man. Pulls his hamstring, and he's basically out the entire year, or at least playing at 50%. Do your freaking jobs. Don't mess up. Don't make dumb mistakes. You can avoid a lot of problems and injuries by not being bad. It's that simple, you know? Like, I think that's an underrated narrative that people don't recognize a lot of times. A lot of these really significant injuries have been a product of bad mistakes, bad plays, blocked field goals, blown up blocks, falling into each other's ankles, knees. How do you think quarterbacks get hurt so much? Like, they end up under pressure and they end up running, having to run or planting weird. You know, like, that's just how it goes. Like, that's how Aaron Rodgers went down. His offensive tackles completely, both of them got blown right by and he had to step up in the pocket, ended up tearing his Achilles. You know what I mean? Like, if you play at a high level, you actually avoid a lot of injuries that way. So Giants need to be better, and they probably will avoid a lot of those, like, those injuries that happen because of freak accidents. You know what I mean? Like, you know, or chasing after, it's football. It's going to happen sometimes, but the Giants, it happens way too often for it to be a coincidence, to be an anomaly. It is a consistent thing, and it's because they stink. You know what I mean? Like, if they're better, I bet you the injuries decline. But, you know, that's just my personal take on it.
Yeah, and I like the point that you made about John Michael Schmitz regressing, because I remember during the pre-draft process, all we heard about him was he's kind of a high-floor player with really good technique and fundamentals. He might lose a lot of reps at the next level because of a lack of athleticism, but he should be technically sound and have the fundamentals down and ultimately have a high floor. That's the opposite of what we saw. We saw poor fundamentals. We saw poor technique. We saw him just have a terrible rookie season. Again, injuries played a part in that, as you just mentioned, but I think you make a good point there where coaching clearly was a massive issue for this Giants offensive line. I think you could say that about Evan Neal as well, another player who looked really good coming out of college, just hasn't lived up to the hype. These guys are not progressing, not developing properly, and I think it's a coaching issue. But now hopefully Carmen Brasillo stepping in here did a great job developing a lot of these Raiders offensive linemen over the last couple of years into a top 10 unit. Hopefully he can have the same effect on the New York Giants and get some of these younger players on this team playing at a higher level. Hopefully this unit will be much better in 2024. But that pretty much wraps up our breakdown on the New York Giants offensive line heading into the upcoming 2024 season. We'll probably hit you with another one of these later on in the offseason as maybe more talent gets added. Maybe they draft somebody. And of course, we'll hear more things about how guys are playing and where they're going to be playing at during training camp. So we'll, of course, continue the conversation on the offensive line going forward. So stay tuned to Fireside Giants. But that pretty much wraps this one up. Make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss the episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you all in the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.
Perfect.